Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another week of the Nate Darling Show.
Yay.
How you doing? How you doing? Coming up this week, we will finally attack the issue of Kanye West being the Steve Jobs of whatever he thinks he's the Steve Jobs of.
The world.
Red Robin pulls an ad.
Ah, good riddance.
And a muscle.
And Paula Deen pulls something out of the deep south. Get all those things coming up. But first, let's start out with a little tribute to James Gandolfini, who passed away last week. Which was sad news, very sad news. 51.
That's tragic.
Very tragic. So he was actively enjoying a family vacation without any reported signs of heart trouble right up until his final hours. That's according to new details released by a family spokesperson. 51-year-old actor died last Wednesday after suffering a fatal heart attack in Rome. The autopsy found the heart attack was brought on by natural causes. He had spent the day before his death sightseeing in Rome. He toured the Vatican with his 13-year-old son, Michael, before enjoying an outdoor meal as they waited for Gandolfini's sister to arrive. Although it was reported Gandolfini enjoyed an extravagant meal the night before he died, his family disputed those reports. Michael Kobold, who is a family friend, who's acted as a family spokesman, said Gandolfini appeared to be in good health. Quote, Jim was a really happy guy, especially because he'd just had a baby daughter 8 months ago.
Aww.
He was extremely happy. He was healthy. There was nothing wrong with him. So it came as a surprise and a total shock. Obviously, there was something wrong with him.
I'd be more offended if his last meal in Rome wasn't extravagant.
I know it should have been.
He's
Why
in Rome,
not?
For Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's...
I know the implication is like, well, of course he had a heart attack. Look what he's eating. But that doesn't... One meal doesn't really do that.
No. No, not at all. But tragic loss. I mean, 51 years old, he had a bunch of projects in the pipeline, including a new show that he was going to star in on HBO.
Oh, wow.
That was going to be coming back. I did not know about that before, you know, when it happened. So that was pretty sad. His funeral is going to be Thursday. So if you're listening to the show the first day that it's available, it'll be tomorrow. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has ordered all state flags to be lowered to half staff, which is causing a little bit of a stir. Some people are a little upset about it. So,
'cause he's not important enough.
Yeah, anytime you lower the flags to half staff and it's not like a cop or somebody in the military, people get all bent out of shape, like it's a big impact on their lives.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, it's affecting my life. And I know what their big thing is, like, well, it diminishes it for everybody else. No, it doesn't.
Not really.
Settle down, people in New Jersey.
The fact that it's been at half staff since we started two wars kind of lessens the impact, because it's more notable to me when the flag on the California State Capitol is at full height instead of half staff.
Right.
Oh.
I become numb to the loss, I suppose.
Well, I mean, I think everybody does after a while. It's, you know, if the flag is always flying at half staff, that becomes normal as opposed to a special.
Right.
Treat's the wrong word. But so
this is a fun up note. Start the show.
It's a tribute.
I know. I'm sad though.
It's a tribute to James Gandolfini.
The show is currently being flown at half staff.
It is. Really.
I feel like the real tribute was last week before all this happened, when you talked about how much you loved The Sopranos.
Yeah.
There you go.
How important it was to you.
Best show ever, man. Best show ever. And he made the show. I mean, and this was the thing that sort of came out of the whole discussion was, he became the first big anti-hero on TV. He's that show and that character made it possible to have Breaking Bad and The Wire and
Sons of Anarchy
and all of those shows, where before that, if you wanted to have a show on TV, your lead had to be somebody that people could root for. It had to be a good guy who was going to do good and be good and all that jazz, all that BS stuff.
With all due respect, the Dukes of Hazzard were rebels. They were bad guys.
Yeah, but they were good guys.
And the A-Team.
And the law was the bad guy.
Ah.
See, they flipped the script on you.
Oh, I hear you. So, I retract.
So rest in peace, James Gandolfini.
Rest in peace, sir.
Yeah, very, very sad. 8-month-old daughter and 13-year-old son who actually notified the hotel desk staff that there was a problem.
Yikes, that's not...
He heard some noise in the bathroom. I think he heard his father fall down, started banging on the door. And, of course, when you go in the bathroom door, normally in the bathroom, you normally lock the door. And he did. So they had to bust down the bathroom door to get him out. So anyway, that's a little tribute to James Gandolfini at the beginning of the show.
I think it's finally time for me to see The Sopranos. I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah, you need to see The Sopranos.
Maybe when we're doing Sands of Anarchy.
Yeah.
I have the first three seasons on DVD. I can loan them to you.
That would help because it's not on anything that I subscribe to. So
No. It's the only place you can get it is the DVDs and on HBO Go. And you might be able to... Do you guys get Netflix DVDs? I don't know if it's available there.
We don't get the DVDs, no.
And I don't know if it's available there or not.
Oh,
so.
We'll
How many
it.
Seasons are there?
There are 6.5. There's a 6A and a 6B.
Oh, okay. I see.
So... If you it's season 6 part 1 and part 2, so 6 seasons, but really 7, because the 6th season, it was weird, it was a very truncated, and the time between seasons got longer and longer. At some points James Gandolfini had issues with drugs and alcohol during the show's run, but there were also huge stretches of time between seasons while David Chase wrote the show and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I think they have like a 17-month stretch, like Mad Men did.
Yeah,
once with their
absolutely, yeah. It was a super long thing. Luckily for me, with Mad Men, it was during that super long hiatus that I actually started watching the show.
Oh, you got caught up on everything.
Yeah, I'd never seen it, and everybody was like, you have to see Mad Men. I'm like, okay. All right.
Did you watch the finale now, or are you going to wait and...
No, I saw it.
Remember, la, 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 la.
No, I won't do that, but...
You know,
I'm very curious to see where we're going. I thought it was an interesting... A season full of ups and downs. There, that's not spoiler.
Hey,
it's
not all up.
Mad Men is another example of an anti-hero show that came out of that tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me just say this: if you choose to not watch TV live, you do run the risk, and the price you pay for not paying for TV is maybe you're going to get a spoiler.
And I try very, very hard not to click on headlines and to, you know, I do my best. But, you know, I'm asking you.
No.
Please, take pity on me.
Well, that's nice and all, but...
That's nice and all.
But the whole point of show... These are shows that are so good, you want to talk about them the next day. And when you have this small subset of people like you guys, we're like, no, don't talk about it. We're watching 2 seasons ago. It's irritating.
I'm only 1 season ago. Ted's on like season 2 or something. He's way behind.
Well, I don't want to inconvenience you, so
I'm just throwing you under the bus because feel under attack.
I mean, no, I do too.
I'm sorry, baby.
Oh, no, it's all good. I don't want
to. I've managed to avoid spoilers on some things for so long now that it's like a point of pride.
Yeah.
Like Harry Potter, all Harry Potter spoilers. I'm keeping my mind pure. And free as best I can.
Oh, you haven't seen them at all because you're waiting for your daughter.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So
yeah, I haven't seen or read them. So I mean, some stuff I kind of like. It's sort of like willful ignorance at a certain point. Like you think you hear things, and you're like, I'm just going to choose not to. You know, I made it a really long time after Fight Club. That was never spoiled for me, so that was pretty exciting.
Good job.
You didn't know the rules of Fight Club?
I did not. So I kept talking about it over and over.
Oh no.
Got awkward.
But the point I'm making, and I'm not attacking you guys specifically. I'm attacking you guys in general. People of your ilk.
Jews guys.
Jews and women.
No. Well, no. Maybe.
And vegans.
Maybe.
Send your mail too.
People who are too cheap to pay for TV.
Jews and women. No, I'm kidding.
Kidding. However that rolls out.
Too cheap. I don't think cheap's the word you should be using.
Perhaps it's too unemployed.
Too unemployed.
No, that's fine. Whatever your reason might be.
Sorry, you don't have highfalutin cable like you.
The world doesn't stop for you.
It should. I think we can agree on that.
I totally get your point, and I would be caught up if I could. I catch up. I stay current with everything that I can watch through Hulu, but the other stuff, you know, I just got to wait and be patient.
Yeah, there is. I read an interesting article where somebody was sort of decrying that aspect of Netflix, not just the like avoidance of spoilers or that I'm a couple seasons behind, but also the rut watching aspect of it, because it it does, you know, there may not be as many water coolers in the office anymore, but there's a lot less coming in and talking about like event TV or episodic things like that, like every week, like, oh man, that was good. You see that was going to happen. Now it's like, oh, can you remember all 24 episodes of whatever you just finished watching? And let's talk about it all today.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to talk about.
That's actually true even for current TV shows. Nobody necessarily watches the show on the day. Even if you're watching it that week,
right.
You maybe didn't watch it the night that it aired.
You
so
DVR'd
I think
it.
That water cooler TV show stuff is, kind of a thing of a past in some ways.
Well, and I've run into that too. And normally what happens is people will say, oh, I DVR'd it. I'm going to watch it on X day.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's a Monday night show. I'm going to watch it on Wednesday. So then you can talk about it on Thursday. You know, there's a day when you can talk about it. So it's, or, you know, somebody will go like, oh, I didn't get a chance to watch it last night. I had this happen. But the whole thing, it just gets frustrating when you're trying to have a conversation about pop culture. People go, there's no water cooler shows. There are plenty of water cooler shows. It's just the internet is run by people who tend to watch TV the way you guys do.
Yay.
Yay, us.
Which,
for example, nothing but Sons of Anarchy all summer long.
Yay!
Which is, by the way, a super small percentage of people actually do that. But the people who do that think everybody does it that way.
But I think it's the people who make TV increasingly believe that that's the future, and the models are starting to change towards, you know, delayed watch or rut watching, glut watching, like
they're starting to. I mean, that's why you're getting Netflix is creating new series all the time. Crackle is another online provider that's free that has series that they produce.
Have you ever heard of WIGS? I don't even know what it stands for, but it's I fell into a YouTube hole the other day.
Oh,
you
God.
Ever do that? You fall? It's like a Wikipedia hole, but usually less scary because somehow Wikipedia always end up on like death, destruction, mayhem, and plane crashes. But a YouTube hole is usually a lot more entertaining. And it's some like women's content channel that's produced for YouTube, and there's just all these like, it's like little mini Lifetime movies, and they're all women's names. It's like Lauren, Susan. So I watched the story of Lauren, but it was fucking amazing.
Oh wow!
Because it was Troyan Belisario, who was on
Pretty Little Liars. Her fashion is my favorite of all four of the characters.
I just like, she's tall.
Yeah.
She's also the daughter of. Daughter, granddaughter of what's his name, Belisario, who's the big time producer of shows like NCIS and JAG and shit that plays on forever on CBS. So she's got a pedigree there in the industry. But she plays an army private or something. And it's like a
or
it's
something.
It's a military sexual abuse rape story.
Uh-huh.
But surprisingly compelling, plays like a play. In little episodes, and there's two seasons of it. One season had 3 episodes, one had like 12. And there's her commanding officer is played by Jennifer Beal doing her impression of Charlotte from Private Practice. If you watch that, she's doing like Southern gruff woman. But there's a bunch of like good people in it. Josh from The West Wing, his name I just totally blanked out on. But if you watch what, does nobody else here watch The West Wing?
No.
Nope.
God damn it, people.
Ted's going to get to that in about 3 years.
Exactly.
If you're going to watch
list.
A bunch of stuff, I don't know what you're waiting for.
No, it's on our list, actually, because I listened to everybody's favorite TV shows last week, and I was like, okay, mental note, you know?
We'll come watch that with you when you dive into that. But mm-hmm. But it was really interesting, and it was, I had no idea there was like this content out there, but they have a bunch, and there's a bunch of like really high-profile stars that do it, and I need to read up more about it, but... so it's certainly not a House of Cards situation, much lower production value, but
let's
good
talk about House of Cards.
Really good,
you
really
saw House
good
of Cards,
acting.
Right?
I did see House of Cards.
Yeah,
this whole show is just going to be us riffing on television,
which is fine.
Well,
we're gonna
move on for soon, but I'm like five or six episodes into House of Cards.
Oh.
It's good.
It is good.
That is just dark West Wing. Actually, you will probably love West Wing if you like House of Cards because it's the same thing, but it's much more beloved. House of
Yay.
Cards than it is like, oh my God, everyone is bad.
Well, I agree with I agreed with you when you were talking about your favorite TV shows last week and I was listening from home that I really love writer driven TV shows and strong character TV shows. So I think that we have that in common and I'm sure that I would really like it.
Yeah, the West Wing, yeah, if it's light and breezy House of Cards, I'm not interested. Moving on. apparently men...
Not light and breezy, just a different tone. That's
men are getting a little bit more vain, I guess.
Probably think this podcast about you.
Someone named Christine Layton wrote the story, Six Plastic Surgeries for Men That Prove Humanity is Doomed.
Yay.
What does Christine think of mustache surgery?
What is that?
That's right. It's when you've seen the commercials where for like the Bosley hair restoration thing where they take hair from your the back of your head and move it forward on your scalp and fill in if you're bald.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That sort of thing. It's that for your upper lip.
For people who can't grow a mustache?
Correct. If you cannot grow a luxurious Tom Selleck mustache, but really would like to.
Wow.
So that's one of them.
That's not necessary. Why are men shamed into thinking they just have hair on the top of their lips to be men?
Then there's, speaking of which, chest hair implant surgery.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised at the same time that so many more men supposedly are waxing, there's other people trying to go the opposite direction.
Well, some trouble with trend pieces.
Yeah. No. I think the whole thing is we've swung back away from the brooding, kind of wimpy hipster sort of vibe back to the real man vibe.
I like that vibe better.
Which means you can grow hair places. So
when is that going to swing back around for women?
I don't know what it is.
What century is it?
number four is voice deepening surgery.
Yeah. Didn't Larry have that sort of because of his, he had an operation in his throat.
Yeah, but it wasn't to deepen his voice. That was
a side effect.
It was a side effect and it wasn't a huge side effect. Let's face it.
Okay.
Yeah, there are some men who just don't feel their voices deep enough. So they get what's called fat injection thyroplasty.
Yeah.
It's meant for men with either weak or high pitched voices.
Weak voices?
Yeah, like you struggle to like that. So yeah, they inject fat into your vocal cords. Exactly.
I need fat in my vocal cords.
The next one, this one actually could be a necessary procedure. It's a scrotum reduction.
Could be necessary.
Well, it could be. If you get to a situation, I mean, I would equate that with women who might need a breast reduction surgery.
Yep, fair call.
But if it's just because you think your sack looks a little odd, everybody's sack looks a little odd. But that's what they do.
There's a children's book to go with Everybody Poops. Everybody's sack looks a little odd.
Mm-hmm. They should really hand that out to like 13-year-old girls just so they can be aware.
But I think, don't they tell? Well, I mean, I can recall part of the like the fifth grade sex health ed session when they tell you about like menstruation and things like that.
Yeah.
was emphasizing tubes. Yeah, so uterus was emphasizing that your breasts might be two different sizes.
Oh, I remember
and
reading
so
that,
I
yeah.
assume there isn't there a part of it where they tell boys like, hey, one could be a different size or hang a little higher or yeah. lower.
I went to Catholic
symmetry is only really important in the face.
I went to Catholic school. They didn't tell us any of that.
Said, don't touch it or use it.
Yeah. That's the devil's tool.
There wasn't a whole lot of detail with that sort of thing. But yeah, I've never encountered a woman whose breasts were exactly the same size.
I think
you would need to surgically augment. And even then, and one is going to be a little lower than the other. Just,
huh.
I always feel kind of bad for a small boob.
Aw, poor small boob.
What is that over there? Are you saying that yours are in fact exactly symmetrical?
Yes, and I'm checking with Ted. And I'm like, they're perfect, right? Perfect, and he's giving me a thumbs up. So,
well, of course he is. He wants to see them again.
Well, no, I'm honest.
There's nothing wrong with. There's nothing imperfect about one being a little lower than the other.
That's true.
There's absolutely nothing wrong. It's absolutely
I think
normal.
If they were side by side, they just. Be awkward and uncomfortable.
we're
talking about scrotes again, right?
Yeah, we're back to the scrotes.
Sure. Boobs should be kind of at the same.
They roughly. I mean, the difference is small, but there is usually a difference. And number two, abdominal etching.
Weird.
Oh.
Which is sort of a liposuction, but you have to be really thin already. And basically, they do a precise extraction of lines of fat around the abdomen. to give you that six pack of abs.
Yeah, because I think maybe genetically you might never be able to get that six pack if you have a certain kind of body. Because I can't get, well, not that I'm even working out now, but I can't get like chiseled arms or anything because I'm just always going to have like this little layer of fat. Like I just don't have those arms, you know? And so maybe people have that stomach.
Not that I advocate, Angela Bassett.
Not that I advocate the surgery, but I guess I get, no, I don't get it. I don't get it. What is my point? I don't have one. I should shut up.
Well, I mean, you don't have to have six pack abs for, unless you're trying to be a model.
Right.
A swimsuit model, you don't need six-pack abs if you're just an average guy.
Do you think average guys really... I'm trying to imagine which guys are opting for these, like, purely physical vanity surgeries.
Like six of them.
20-something-year-old douchebags with enough money to do it?
They'll probably be an MTV special.
Do you think they're trying to attract women or men?
Yes, women.
That reminds
or men.
Me.
Maybe.
Women. I mean, they could be men. You know who else is doing it? Dudes who are like in their 30s who are maybe just divorced and want to land like a 23-year-old.
Oh, yeah. The sort of midlife crisis ab etching.
Hold on. Early 30s is not midlife.
You're right.
Sorry. Unless you're James Gandolfini.
No, you're right. Too That's soon. Just a cliched phrase that came out of my mouth. But, you know.
And the number one surgery... pec and calf implants.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, and this, see, I don't think it's new because on an episode of MTV's True Life, which I think we talked about in a prior episode, there was one about getting plastic surgery and there was a guy who was getting calf implants and it was so disturbing. It was all about him working out and he got everything else chiseled, but he just wasn't going to get chiseled calves or big calves and he felt like his little chicken legs were terrible. And then they he like opened a seam after I got the implants and was bleeding profusely at the beach and it was disturbing.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, no. That absolutely would be. No, a lot
just
of these
wear pants.
A lot of these surgeries not new, they're just becoming more and more popular.
According to cracked.com.
It is according to cracked. Now to switch to another part of the internet. Yes, Becca, were you
going
to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that part of me feels.
Which part?
I feel conflicted. I don't want men to suffer through the same body image terror that women do and to go to the lengths that women do, but if women have to,
it's only fair.
I don't know. I hope this is leading to both sexes deciding that this is all
dumb.
BS yeah and just being nicer to themselves.
Well, anymore. Honestly, most of these things, I don't think it's the average guy. I don't think the average guy is really fretting over this sort of thing the way women do. Because, I mean, I know women have a lot more societal pressure about stuff. They put a lot more pressure on themselves to be a certain way and look a certain way. And guys who do it, it's because they want to, not because they feel they have to. There's no one in society going, you need to have six-pack abs. Now, it may be like you're hanging around with five other douchebags who have six-pack abs, so you want to get it, but it's not the same sort of pressure. It just isn't. This next article amused me. It's written by Simon Doohan for Slate.com. I would imagine that Simon might be gay, man. I don't know. The headline, Why Are Guys Afraid to Wear Speedos? American men need to get over their Freudian fear of showing off their junk. He says, summer is here, and again, I'm seething with frustration. Why? Every year I scan the beaches for men in Speedos, and every year I'm disappointed. The ridiculous board short trends shows no sign of waning. I had high hopes for change after last year's Olympics when the entire nation was gripped by the spectacle of those jackknifing water sprites in their micro briefs. I'm going to upgrade that into probably homosexual. Those preposterously teeny swim skivvies worn by Tom Daly et al. Could only be explained by some kind of harsh polyester rationing scheme. Sorry, boys, but I only have 1 square inch of fabric per customer. Don't worry, it's quite stretchy. I just assume that come this summer, we might see an increased willingness on the part of the U.S. male to embrace a little European savoir-faire. But yet again, all I see are men in billowing shorts. My interest is not entirely sordid. My primary motivation is, in fact, safety. Dudes are getting waterlogged, and dudes are sinking. In the course of my far-from-extensive research, I spoke to West Coast swimwear magnate Mr. Turk. He shares my conviction that board shorts aficionados are drowning because their swimsuits are so voluminous. A California lifeguard pal of Turk's has been obliged on more than one occasion to pull guys out of the surf because they get tangled up in huge baggy shorts. So there. So what are you let's survey the room.
It's a trend.
This satire is a little weak.
It's not satire.
It's not satire.
Well, the part about guys drowning because of their board shorts
doesn't ring true.
Truthful to me.
Oh. Well, that doesn't make it
a satirical hyperbole.
No, I don't
and
know.
I just think it could have been funnier.
Well, I don't think he's kidding. I think he's actually citing examples of lifeguards who've had to pull dudes. Now, maybe these dudes, if they were in Speedos, would have the same issue, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think it's tied to their board shorts.
So, Ted...
No, thank you.
No Speedo for you?
It's not my... It's not very comfortable to me. I just don't...
Have you tried them on? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I tried a pair of Speedos on just to see what they were like, and I didn't like them. So, not
you
for
did?
Me.
You did? You tried Speedos on?
It was a long time ago, sweetheart.
Oh, Mixer didn't have them.
Trust me, it's best for everyone if I don't wear them.
Becca, what do you think? Would you like to scan the beaches and see dudes in Speedos?
You know, honestly, no. Definitely no. I mean, the guys in the Olympics, of course, look good and they're athletes and they look fantastic in what they wear. But in general, I would find Speedos, that's just, I don't know. It's too much information. I don't really need to see guys in that skin tight of an outfit walking around in public. I think that board shorts are cute and they leave a little bit, you know, to the imagination, and I prefer that. When I think of Speedos, even though it wasn't technically a Speedo, I always think of Borat in his like lime green one piece outfit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was more of a tankini.
Yeah, whatever it was, but it's like that kind of. I don't know. I just think the male form looks better in shorts.
Christiana, what say you? You want to see some European stuff going on?
I don't know. I don't really care either.
And you, and your husband is British. So
they don't consider themselves European.
So sort of European. Does he sport the Speedo at the beach?
No, and they don't consider themselves European.
Of course not. Why would they?
Which I think is crazy. I think they're European.
We're not in Europe.
Whatever. No, that is seriously. It's just weird.
European adjacent. Yeah. I don't know. It's why not? Go ahead. Wear your Speedo if you want to. What's the harm?
Oh, sure, if you want to. I didn't mean to hate on anybody, I know. But just
wear.
Personally,
Why are you sexualizing somebody? He's just hanging out at the beach trying to get a tan, go swimming.
It's all those oversized scrotums. Yeah. Oversized scrotums are the problem.
Kind of the same thing as skinny jeans don't look great on everybody. And I think Speedos are really hard to pull off if you're not... like a champion swimmer, and so...
Well, they're probably really hard to pull off because they're tight, too.
Right. So, I don't know. I just think shorts are more forgiving and
Mom, I'm just
going to
turn
flattering.
Your mic off.
Oh.
All right.
Bye, Christiana.
Christiana's been really quiet lately. I don't know what's going on. Moving on to Philadelphia, where two women were kicked out of a McDonald's in Upper Darby for engaging in sexual relations in the bathroom. But then they were jumped by a group of customers once they exited the restaurant.
Oh.
Sounds kind of like a hate crime. Turn me back on.
You're on.
Does it? Shortly before 5 p.m., a group of customers went to the manager of the McDonald's and told her that there were two women engaging in sex in the restaurant's second floor bathroom. Everybody should do their own thing, but doing it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in a McDonald's bathroom, whether you're female and male, or male and male, what the F? The manager went to the bathroom and threw the women out of the restaurant. Police said shortly thereafter, a group of 7 or 8 people who had complained about the women ran outside and began assaulting the couple.
Oy.
One of the women was stabbed in the shoulder with an unknown object by a female in the attacking group who appeared to be around 40 years old and had 2 children with her.
That escalated really quickly.
It did. As police arrived, the crowd scattered. Officers had to convince the stabbing victim to seek medical assistance at the hospital, where she was treated for injuries and released. The couple said that their attackers used derogatory language against them during the beating. Police are in the process of obtaining surveillance footage from McDonald's to determine the identity
of
the attackers.
Gravy.
Yeah, it's Philadelphia.
Well, there's a sister brotherly love. I guess sisterly love doesn't factor in there.
Philadelphia is not really that nice a place.
I've never been.
In terms of the way people act, they had to put a jail in it at old veteran stadium and a new CenturyLink field where the Eagles play.
That's why the Fresh Prince had to move to Beverly Hills, because he got harassed in Philly.
It is. That's exactly why.
Now I understand.
They booed Santa Claus. They are famous for taking D-cell batteries and throwing them at opposing players.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, Philadelphia is not that great a place, but I thought it was really crazy that it would escalate that quickly. Now, if you're angry enough to start attacking people physically on the street, you're probably going to be using derogatory language. I'm just curious what sort of derogatory language.
Probably
you know,
do with their sexuality.
Could be, but we don't know.
You're right. Could be their gender, their race, not their gender, or their gender, or their race.
They could just be calling them thoughtless assholes.
It's true.
Over and over again. What are you doing, you thoughtless asshole, you human piece of trash? What are you doing trying to have sex in a bathroom at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? My kids can walk in on you. Now I'm going to stab you in front of my kids.
Right, exactly. Set a good example in this family restaurant.
No winning in the story.
Nope. Everyone is terrible, except possibly the manager, who is like,
Yeah, it's full of bad people. Yeah,
that's
so
true.
And bad food.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's to be determined.
That's to be the jury's trial on the food quality of McDonald's.
If it's food.
There's documentaries about the food quality of McDonald's.
Well, is it food?
Oh, there you go.
Ah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
It's a food product.
And some people would say they're loving it.
Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. All right, up first in cool or tool, male vanity. Ted.
I don't think vanity in any form is cool, so I'm going to give it a tool.
Becca? Huh?
Don't hurt yourself, guys. Don't be tool. Healthy self-love.
Christiana?
Tool. Don't do it.
You know what? I'm going to go against you guys. I know it's shocking. It's cool. Do whatever you want, man. It's a me. It's time for me. Do your me thing. Whatever you want to do.
Vanity is one of the sins, isn't it?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, I think it is.
I think it is. Wasn't there a model in Seven?
Yeah.
I think Vanity was one of Prince's backup dancers.
No, Vanity. She was Vanity, too.
It's okay. Whatever. I
didn't see the movie.
That's just so scary.
We're all good.
So disturbing.
Vanity.
Up next in Cooler Tools, Speedos.
Oh, boy.
Becca.
Cool on Olympic athletes.
Christiana.
They're cool. They're fine.
I agree. They're cool for the people that want to wear them. Just, you know, if they work for you, work them.
They are, in fact, tool. Oh. In fact, they are a tool showcaser. And finally, in cooler tool.
Wait.
They showcase your tool.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
No, I did it. Male vanity, tools, speedos.
And finally, lesbian bathroom sex. Christiana.
Well, I mean, just on its own, it's fine.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, sure. Go for it, you know, whatever.
Ted, what say you?
I just keep watched it. Black Swan again.
Yeah, keep your sex life spicy if you want. Just don't disturb
Poor
the kids
Christy.
At McDonald's.
Becca?
Cool in a bathroom with a door that locks.
Yeah, there you go.
Good addendum. Lesbian bathroom sex, it's absolutely fine. Go at it. Have fun. Do your thing. If you like.
I'm only hoping that after tomorrow, the lesbians in the bathroom can get married.
Yeah, me too.
That would be nice.
By the time this is playing, we'll know.
We'll all be very sad or very happy.
Well, we'll know one way or another. I'm still betting that the Supreme Court takes the easy way out and punts.
Yep, based on their decision so far this week, it's a pretty good guess, which is going to suck ass.
No, I'm just saying I have no trust in the Supreme Court to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me.
5-4 decisions aren't my favorite.
Thanks.
Just want to say, I don't know. Just, you know, I would like it if it just seems when it's so divided by that. Never mind. That's me being silly. Let's move on.
No, it would suck. It'd be nice if it was an 8-1 in favor of clearing out of all the impediments, but it probably won't be.
Right.
But I would take 5-4 if they did the right thing.
Oh, yeah. I'll take it if you do the right thing. But
I don't think it's... I think it's going to be 5-4 on some technicalities. And then we can do this again, you know, next term.
Yay.
A couple more terms.
There you go. Well, Paula Deen, boy, some stuff came out about her, huh?
It surely did.
She admits to using the N-word at some point in the past. Because everybody did. Because that's just what you did. I guess. I'm not really clear about this whole thing. I know the whole thing comes from a lawsuit against her restaurant and her brother primarily for sexual and racial discrimination. So that's where this initiated from. And I'm not quite sure what that whole deal is. I think everything will be sort of squared away. She is going to be on, well, by the time anybody hears this, she will have already been on the Today Show. So we'll talk about Paula Deen a little bit more in detail. As far as that goes next week, I just talked to Kareem Daniels, who is going to be on the show next week. So we'll talk about
awesome.
Yay.
So we'll have a black guy in to talk about Paula Deen. Meanwhile, Paula Deen, well, I think it's only fair.
Oh, no, it's fine. This look on Christiana's face is funny.
It's really funny, yes.
She
You need to sit across from each other. That's what I'm saying. Anyway.
Just put a mirror and then
face cam. Go ahead.
So, yeah, she's been dropped from the Food Network. There's consideration of dropping her from QVC.
How recently did she say she used the N-word? Is it like kind of like, you know, last week?
She didn't.
Sure, I say it sometimes.
That's the confusing part. And even Al Sharpton said if it was something that happened years and years ago, she shouldn't be punished for it.
Right. But,
I
guess that part's still kind of unclear. I've said it.
I've read some more about, you know, the case and stuff. And I guess there was persistent discrimination, like her African-American workers in her restaurant were forced to work her parties in payment for, they were only paid with beer and no actual wages. But if they said they didn't want to work, they were fired. And I guess some of the staff was calling some of the African-American workers monkeys and things like that. And so this was kind of stuff that was happening in her restaurant.
Well, thanks to the Supreme Court this week, it'll be way harder to prove any of that stuff at bar. Yay.
So that happened. And she apologized.
Racism won this week, P.S. a lot.
Paula Deen, we'll talk about that next week. Paula Deen did apologize. Let's see if we can have any of her apology here. If this will play for me. Of course it won't.
I'm sorry.
I'm Paula Deen.
If the words that I said were found to be offensive by you, then I'll...
That's close. Let me just see if we have it right.
The words attributed to me.
Here we go.
Hi, y'all. I'm Paula Deen. I would like to apologize to everybody for the wrong that I've done. I would like to take this opportunity to grow and to learn how to stop saying nigger. Inappropriate and hurtful language is totally, totally unacceptable. At least according to my lawyer, and he's a faggot. I have made plenty of mistakes in my life. Like the time I mistook Jamie Foxx for Marlon Wayans. We all know they look alike. Please forgive Paula. But I beg you. My children, Jamie and Bobby, my team, Pookie and Tyrone, Marquis and Shalaquandra, my fans, my partners, I mean, not the Jewish. So please forgive me for the mistakes that I've made.
Oh.
Nick.
So that wasn't actually Paula Deen.
Betsy.
Sounded just like her.
That was our friend Betsy Sodero on Funny or Die. A little skit written by Casey, I hope I don't blow his name, Casey Fay, F-E-I-G-H, and Alan McLeod.
Nice.
Wrote that. So
well done.
Yeah. Really.
That's her second Paula Deen video, too. She did a great one after the whole diabetes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. She made like a casserole with butter.
Yeah,
and, like,
it was just like a stick of butter. It was fantastic. So, which, I mean, Lorne Michaels, since I'm sure you're listening to the show, I know that when you do the SNL auditions, you love people to have recognizable characters. Obviously, you should cast Betsy.
Obviously.
On SNL. Obviously.
Yeah. And sadly, that was actually better than the real Paula Deen apology. Let's take a listen to that for a second.
I want to apologize to everybody for the wrong that I've done. I want to learn and grow from this. Inappropriate, hurtful language is totally, totally unacceptable. I've made plenty of mistakes along the way, but I beg you, my children, my team, my fans, my partners, I beg for your forgiveness. Please forgive me for the mistakes that I've made.
That's not a terrible apology.
Edits in there. You can't go 45 seconds of an apology without five edits.
I think she's about to cry.
But that actually was a pretty, as a celebrity or public figure apologies go, that was actually pretty direct. It didn't deflect. Like, if anybody
was offended,
happened to feel something by something that was attributed to me by the media, you know, like, it wasn't a non-apology. It was an apology.
I agree. It was an apology.
Well, Paula Deen has plenty of supporters. There's even a new Paula Deen, Support Paula Deen Facebook page where people write things like, Paula Deen, I do not think you should have to say you are sorry to the whole world because, well, first of all, you didn't say that to or about the whole world. From what I hear, it was about one man like near 30 years ago or so when you worked at a bank and held a gun to your head and you said it in the privacy of your home. That's the first. Oh. We just hit the
what?
First period there.
She makes a good point. Or
that doesn't
he.
Make any sense.
It's he.
Well, there was a gun involved, and you know.
Yeah, at one point Paula Deen was held up at gunpoint.
So you know, once that happens,
are we not allowed to say what we want to in our own home? Doesn't seem that way, but it should be that way. I love you and your show, and I've always enjoyed watching you. I wish more than anything I could meet you, although I know I never would be able to because I can't afford to travel.
Sorry.
You are a wonderful person. Yes, you made a mistake in your own home of all places, but then was it really a mistake if it was in your own home? I don't think so.
Was it a mistake? It's
I think that
home.
Food Network is making a huge,
I'm
huge
never wrong
mistake.
At home, so.
I shot someone of
it
by
it
mistake
was at home.
At home so
in
it
Texas,
wasn't a
that counts. That is legit defensive.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow, that's amazing.
They need to think about what they are doing. They are doing you wrong. I love you, Paula Deen, no matter what.
Wow. Good for her. She has love out there.
Here's another one. We'll never watch your network again. If you were to fire or not renew all the people on your network who said something they shouldn't have in the past, you'd have no shows. I completely disagree with your decision and wish Paula only the very best in her future. How horrible to punish her for telling the truth. Shame on you.
Telling the truth?
What did she tell the truth of?
Well, she was under oath on the stand of
the
case.
Oh, like she could have lied and said, I'm not at all racist or have never done anything suspect.
Well, they asked if she'd ever used the N-word, and she said, yes, of course.
Oh.
Of course.
Yeah. I feel like, I think it's weird that the fixation needs to be on whether or not she said this particular word, but I think there's other issues.
I mean, Ted said it on the podcast.
That's true. But it was in your house, so it was
right,
not
it
a
was,
mistake.
It wasn't wrong.
It wasn't wrong.
And personally, I mean, I don't even know the extent of this thing, but I was already upset with Paula Deen when the whole diabetes thing came out and, you know, that she had had it for years and hit it and continued to sort of peddle these recipes and this lifestyle that is really unhealthy and can hurt a lot of people. And I don't know, that upset me too. And I don't know where I'm going with this.
You know what? Here's the bottom line on Paula Deen. She's 66 years old. She has a pile of money bigger than the four of us will probably ever compile as a group.
Oh, sad.
And she can just go away and retire now.
That's true.
And she's still getting some things. She's booked on a couple of cruises for the rest of the year. There are going to be these little things. She doesn't have to be on the Food Network. And it's not the same sort of tragedy as it would be. And I use the word tragedy wrong there. But it's not as impactful a thing as, say, the news anchor who dropped the F-bomb. As soon as his first show came on.
Yeah.
Right.
That dude's working in a bar to pay his student loans. And whether or not he'll ever work in TV again, I don't know. And he's like 24 or 25 years old. Paula Deen's got a pile of money that she'll never be able to go through. She's going to be fine. So everybody who's all like, oh, Paula Deen, shut up. Shut up. Some other person will roll out on the Food Network and cook food and it'll be fine.
Well, I mean, her legacy is affected by it. So, and you know, I feel I have some, I don't know. It's
her legacy. Who is she? George Bush? Come on. She hosts a damn cooking show.
Well, you know, she'll have a new legacy, I suppose.
Well, yeah, Julia Child's legacy is fantastic. Ooh, but yeah, maybe not Paula Deen.
I bet Julia Child used the N-word.
I still want to know more about everything.
Everything?
You're not convinced that she's the worst human being.
We don't have
that
much time.
No. Uh-huh.
Everything.
Just life.
Start at the beginning.
You just want to know what
she's... If the meeting turns out to be butter, though, joke's on all of us. Yeah, so.
It's true.
Just more about what she actually said and whether she's
an
evil
person.
Well, tune into the Today Show or go to today.com. It'll be on the website.
I feel like Matt Lauer took it personally because every day it's like Paula Deen watch.
Well, yeah.
Remember that time on Monday when Paula Deen didn't come? We do, too.
Yeah.
Well, God damn it.
She stood him up. When you have a guest, no show.
She's supposed to be on tomorrow? Wednesday morning?
Wednesday morning.
What are we going to be spending Wednesday morning talking about? It's not going to be fucking Paula Deen. Good scheduling, Paula.
Right.
Good scheduling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Paula Deen, and I don't blame the Today Show, because if you're running a TV show like that and somebody cancels, it puts a huge hole in your schedule, and you're like, okay, what do we do? What do we have to fill?
You have Kathy Leon to fill time. Everyone knows that.
But not not in the early hours when people watch. And the first of all, the Kathy Lee hour isn't even on in Sacramento. Never has been.
Oh, it's so sad. My parents get actually kind of upset about that. And they get, like, they're mystified every day at 9 when it goes to the other show, just
Kelly
for an
and
hour
Michael.
And then comes back. Like, why? I don't understand that either.
Because Regis used to be great and powerful, and they commanded that time slot.
Sure.
He's a powerful man.
Mm-hmm, he was. So Red Robin has, you remember the ad where they sort of made fun of vegetarians, but
I
not
do.
Really?
They did make fun of vegetarians. They dismissed the vegetarian cause as a phase.
The cause?
Foolish yeah, it's a cause for some people. I don't know if you realize this.
If it's a cause, then you're probably a little too serious about it. Anyway, the ad's been pulled.
It's like religion.
Fight.
Yeah, let's fight about
it. Yeah, it is.
Morals and ethics of vegetarianism and how it's not a cause because you don't agree with it.
No, no, no.
It's like feminism is not really a cause. It's just a little thing
that
girls go through.
Feminism is a cause. Vegetarianism is a choice to not eat meat.
For what reason?
No, but it's really...
For whatever reason you want.
Animal rights is... Are you saying like animal rights is the cause that may or may not be tied to... the nutritional aspect of it?
There are many causes. I mean, animal rights is one thing. The environmental detriment that is caused by factory farming and what that is doing to our water supply and the kinds of diseases that are spread in factory farms that could later affect human populations. There's a million, the overfishing in the oceans, all that. There are a ton of causes that are crisscross and are impacted by vegetarianism and veganism. I think it is a movement, but it's all kinds of movements. Some people just do it for health, you know, and some people are more environmental about it, and other people just feel really bad for animal suffering and they don't want to participate in that.
Yeah, but it's a choice. Ultimately, it's a choice.
I think everything, all beliefs are choices.
No. Yeah. But not everything is a choice. Feminism isn't a choice. I mean, you're born female or you're not born female.
But
being
true.
Feminist is a choice.
Right, yeah. I understand that. But women having equal rights and that sort of subset
of it. Shouldn't
be a choice.
Right. Seems to be something that's not chosen
no.
by a lot of people.
It's not chosen because if you're born female, that's what you have to deal with. If you're born male, you have to deal with something else. If you're born black, if you're born gay, those are things you have to deal with. If you're a vegetarian, that was a choice that you made. And
no,
that's the distinction I'm making.
It is a choice that you make Yeah, I don't want to split hairs about it, although in some ways I feel like it was a choice. For me, it was a choice that I had to make because, I mean, it's not like I saw a PETA video or read a book or something and then suddenly started thinking about eating meat. Like, I felt bad about it always. Like, I can't really remember not feeling bad about it. And so maybe my personality or whatever combination of genes made me who I am created that choice for me.
Yeah, well, it was your choice, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying it's bad to be a vegetarian or wrong or anything like that. I'm just saying it's a choice. Anyway, they pulled the ad.
Well, Ted and I were talking about this, like what Red Robin might be thinking about that, because on one hand, it was really dismissive of vegetarianism, and that was unfortunate. And I think they're a better advertising choice for them would have been to be like, we have a lot of delicious meat burgers and vegetarians are also welcome. We have a veggie burger, and be like, we have something for everybody. Like that, to keep it positive, that would have been good. And now I wonder if they're just thinking, oh, we're never going to say the word vegetarian or emphasize that we have that ever again because vegetarians have no sense of humor and they're terrible and they will like demand boycotts on us, you know. And it's true that a lot of vegetarians have no sense of humor, and I actually don't have very many vegan friends, and sometimes I get nervous with the couple I do have that I'm not vegan enough for them. It's really, really stressful, you guys. There's a lot of judgment involved in this whole scene. And so maybe Red Robin is just like, screw you guys. We're pulling the garden burgers. I mean, I know they're not pulling the garden burgers, but it bothers me that I'm sure they weren't trying to piss off vegetarians and then they did. And now maybe they might back away from even kind of trying to include them, which is too bad.
No, I think they're still going to have everything on the menu. They're probably going to be pulling away from advertising in that sort of way at all. It'll, it, it, I mean, their cornerstone of their business is not vegetarians.
Right, right.
By any stretch of the imagination. So it'll be there, but they're going to go back to the you know, Red Robin Yum and look at all these burgers and shots of burgers. And you may see a shot of a veggie burger with a little toothpick sign in it that says veggie burger, but it's going to be downplayed just because it, not just them, but the people who eat at Red Robin a lot and are big burger eaters are going to be like, what do I want a bunch of vegetarians here for? They're all touchy-feely, pain-in-my-ass people. But no offense.
But vegetarianism is growing as a, you know, as a diet preference of Americans. And
5%.
It's small. It's small. It's true. But it is growing. And one thing about being vegetarian and vegan that I can attest to is that when you are the person with the special diet and you're going out to eat with a group of people, usually everybody asks you where you can go eat. So I think it behooves like all restaurants to have something vegetarian on their menu so that the one person that everybody's looking at going, well, we want to make sure, you know, that you can eat here. You want to have something for that person. Cause I feel like in some ways the social vegetarian has more pull.
Social vegetarian.
No, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
I totally know what you mean.
In a group, yeah. than almost anybody else. Or the same if someone is gluten free or has some other thing, everyone's going to look at that person and say, "Where can you go?" So
hopefully, in a polite world.
Same for Jews. Kosher Jews. Where can we take the Jew to eat?
Friendlies.
That one's actually a little bit harder.
But depends on how religious the Jew is.
Yeah,
but,
it does. But I think it's probably harder to take a super kosher Jew out to eat than it is even a vegan.
Oh yeah, a super kosher Jew, yes.
Brooklyn.
But but you know, like if a Jewish person will eat fish, you know, and have a kosher fish option. Like my parents are kosher, but not so kosher they won't eat out of that. I eat anything outside the house. Anyway.
Has anything touched the grill where the fish is going to be?
Exactly. I know. It's impossible.
Does fish count as meat though? I mean, does fish count as something that can't touch dairy?
No. Oh, you can. Well, the thing is like, but as you know, if you have unkosher, like you have, you know, bacon on the grill and then you take it off and put fish on the grill, that would be not kosher. Right. Yeah, just because you're
mixing.
But
I mean, a grill that just, even without the bacon stuff, like a grill that they made a cheeseburger on, you're not supposed to mix dairy and meat, right?
Yeah, you're not supposed to
dairy
and meat.
Does fish count as meat?
Oh, fish doesn't count as meat, no.
Okay.
So a tuna melt is cool?
A tuna melt's awesome.
Wow.
I don't write these rules, I just know them.
You know what else is awesome? Kanye West, at least if you ask him. He says that he, and this is a quote, "I am the Steve Jobs of internet, fashion, and culture."
Steve Jobs of internet is kind of funny to me.
That is funny.
Steve Jobs, the Steve Jobs of internet?
Yeah, I think Steve Jobs had some internet
stuff.
He's
just the Steve Jobs of iPods.
He does. He said, "Yeah, respect my trend-setting abilities. Once that happens, everybody wins. The world wins. Fresh kids wins. Creatives win. The company wins."
I don't think I win from that at all, do I? I get to like benefit from Kanye's awesomeness.
I think what Kanye, and this is Kanye speaking, by the way, I think what Kanye West is going to mean is something similar to what Steve Jobs means. I'm undoubtedly, you know, Steve of internet, downtown, fashion, culture, period.
Oh, man.
By long jump, I honestly feel that because Steve has passed, you know, it's like when Biggie passed and Jay-Z was allowed to become Jay-Z. It's not at all like
same.
That.
He's definitely the Kanye of Kanye, though.
He is such.
Shouldn't he just at least pick the music industry? Like, be the Elvis of whatever? I don't know. It seems like.
Oh, no, I think Elvis is the Kanye of the music industry.
Elvis is the Steve Jobs of Cadillacs. No, that's not right.
I've been connected to the most culturally important albums of the past 4 years, the most influential artists of the past 10 years. You have, like, Steve Jobs, Walt Disney, Henry Ford, Howard Hughes, someone I don't know, Anna Wintour, David Stern. Anyway, I think that's a responsibility that I have to push possibilities, to show people this is the level all things could be at. So when you get something that has the name Kanye West on it, it's supposed to be pushing the furthest possibilities. I'll be the leader of a company that ends up being worth billions of dollars because I got the answers. I understand culture. I am the nucleus.
I think that's what his business plan actually reads verbatim when he tries to get his business funded, whatever billion-dollar corporation he's
and
envisioning
it's in
here.
All caps.
Yeah.
Just like his blog.
And the cover of it has a picture of him.
So, Becca.
Yes.
Defend your boy Kanye, because I know you. Oh. I know that you are the one in the room who likes him most.
Okay, well, here's the funny. Okay, first of all, It would be disingenuous of me to say that I'm a Kanye West fan because that implies that I'm really familiar with his music, which I am not. But I And also, I was just telling Ted today that it's a pity that we have to talk about this week, because this interview actually came out like a week ago, and there was much about it that inspired and delighted me. And then this week, he named his child Northwest.
Yes, he did.
And I felt like, oh, now how can I defend Kanye? Like, I wrote Nate an email saying, like, I want to defend Kanye, and we put it off talking about until this week, and now with the baby name, I feel like, now I don't even know if I can do it. But here's the thing I will say about Kanye West is that I'm really glad that he is in the world, unfiltered, being
the angry yelling song?
Confident.
I don't know.
And and creative, because frankly, I feel like so many celebrities sort of have taken this PR course or whatever, and they just kind of, they're sort of this like self-deprecating, filtered way of talking. And I just appreciate, there's some gems of quotes in that interview where he just talks about how his intuition leads him to total and complete awesomeness at all times, and how all he wants is just total awesomeness and dopeness for the world, and like, why would anyone want to control that, you know? And he makes a good point. Why do people need to hate on him? Why do they want to control him? I just think it's really refreshing when someone just says, I want to just like blow minds and take things to this whole other level, and isn't really worried about how they might seem. Or, I don't know, I think we're afraid to be confident in this society. I know that I am, and I think I had said in my little defensive email to my defending Kanye email that if I had 5% of his confidence, I would be so much further on my dreams right now. So, I don't know, I just think he's refreshing. I love to read interviews with him because it's really funny, the stuff that he says and the way that he thinks and how he gets inspired by, like, furniture and art and Kim Kardashian. I don't know, he gets inspired by all kinds of stuff. So anyway, I don't know, I like you, Kanye. I'm glad you're in the world. You inspire me and amuse me, and keep telling us about your artistic process because it's always fascinating.
Ooh.
I think he and Paula Deen should go on what's that called, the Shabbat?
The Shabbat.
Like a sabbatical?
Yeah,
no,
like,
Shabbat.
How about a bivouac? Something like that. So, yeah, we're listening to Kanye West. It's from his new album. It's called I Am a God.
Yeah, he did one of these songs on SNL when he was on SNL, and I just didn't get it. It was a lot of yelling and anger and a lot of flashing images. And
I got it. I fast-forwarded right through it.
And it was not it. I didn't like it. I like some Kanye stuff, like, legit, but I'm not there yet.
I like his interviews so much that I try to listen to his music, and I don't think I'm awesome and dope enough because I just never... And it's not that I don't like hip-hop, but it just never catches on with me. I don't know what my problem is. I'm sorry, Kanye.
I think Kanye's genre is Kanye. I don't think it's hip-hop. I don't think he can be defined.
But I like that.
Only by himself.
I like him in... He's one of those artists that I like in theory and I have trouble with in practice. See also Bob Dylan.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, and you mentioned the new baby.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Northwest.
Right.
See, now here's where I will get on the Kanye defense team, because I don't have a problem with them naming the baby North. It's fine. I don't care.
I would like the name better if the last name wasn't West. I feel like that makes it schlocky. Like North isn't in and of itself a bad name, but doing Northwest with no middle name, I don't know. It just puts it in that realm of like jokey names, you know? Like,
A little bit. I don't think it's any worse than Blue Ivy, which...
No, that's stupid.
Had that been Ivy Blue, it would have made more sense to me, but it's fine. Like, names are names in the great world of naming. North is fine. Even Northwest is fine. I don't know. It just doesn't bother me at all.
Well, like, apparently,
a little bit.
Apparently, it's not based on the direction. The duo believes Baby North is the highest point together as a couple, the pinnacle of the relationship, and they consider her their North Star.
Which is great.
Which is sweet, actually.
Kid, then you're like,
right?
No.
You're South. We were really drunk that night.
Yeah,
the low point.
Oh, they should name the next one East West, because that has kind of like a cool spiritual vibe, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that they need to make any more. I think we're good.
It does seem funny, though, when they say we're going to call her Nori for short, because Nori is actually longer than North.
If she was Eastern, it'd be like Nor'eastern she'd be when she's having a tantrum.
Aww.
Hi, Kitty.
Let me just clear something up for you. They're horrific narcissists, so they're calling her something for short that's actually longer makes perfect sense when you factor that in.
I don't know.
They are horrific narcissists. The two of them are.
In that way, I was kind of...
At least he produces something, though.
Like, yeah, that's
true. So does she. She's got tons of product with her name on it. She
produces. Yeah, that's babies. Different, though.
Thing. You know, that's come on. That's
like,
thing.
He's a genuine artist. Yeah.
Is
like,
he?
He is. Is he? Is.
Didn't
yes.
you hear what we just listened to?
Yeah,
he's
I
the
did.
God. He told you. No, I...
no, but he legitimately is. Like, he spends time reading and going to museums and studying architecture and design and all this stuff, and he puts it into music. That is
It may,
art.
May not like it. It may be crap, but yeah. he definitely works at his craft.
It's not just like a team of people producing Kanye hits. Like, he is actually creating what he's doing. Kim Kardashian, I think, is a face for an empire that's kind of moving behind her.
All based on a big ass and a sex tape.
Yeah.
Hey.
So there you go. Hey, before we get to small town news, I want to remind you that if you enjoy the show, please help support the show by shopping Amazon.com through The Nate Darling Show. Just go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab, and then shop away till your heart's content. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show, and we do appreciate it.
I just bought a card table through Amazon.com.
Oh, that was you?
Ooh. Yeah, to use for our upcoming block party. I want another small table to take outside.
Sweet. Somebody also bought Astroglide and some Trojans.
That wasn't me.
You're welcome.
Thanks
for spoiling the surprise for Becca.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Fireworks, like in the commercials.
I bought something too, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I did it as well.
We're all doing it.
Yeah.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's
I don't
okay.
have a lot of spare money right now, guys.
Damn it, Becca.
We're not trying to shame you. We're just saying. Uh-huh. So that's a great way to support the show. Another great way to support the show, if you don't have any money, it's free. Tell a friend. Just say, hey, I really like this show. I think you might like it, too, if you got friends who like the same things that you do. Go ahead and do that. That is another way we can help grow the show and be awesome. So remember, you can also listen to the show on the Stitcher mobile app. Download that at the iTunes store or the Google Play store. Then you can listen to it right on your mobile phone. And the website. This is a cool new thing on the website. It's a one-button download. So if you're not like an iTunes person, you're not a Stitcher person, you go right to the thing, the play bar on the podcast. It's a one-button download. It's actually a lot simpler.
One button.
That's a time saver.
It is. No more...
so considerate.
Fumbling with buttons.
No more right-clicking and figuring out stuff. It's all right there for
Ain't
you.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No,
not as the kids say.
The Nate Darling Show.
No, welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. Man, we left a lot of stuff on the table there. Anyway,
I blame the vegans.
That's
we,
fine.
We had to talk about a lot of TV.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The stuff that fell off the table, it'll be there later, or we'll just throw it away. Whatever.
Or Florida will make more.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's true. We skipped Florida yep. Corner for a reason.
It's okay. Oh.
We go to Plattsburgh, New York, to the Press Republican for Speak Out.
Oh, Speak Out. I've stopped trying to even crack Speak Out.
It's probably a good idea.
They're keeping me down.
Headline marriage. Who says a woman is required to marry a man to have a child? Why should a woman have to marry at all? Is there some secret rule that enable for a woman to be successful to raise a child, she must have a man?
Did that Speak Out get stuck in the pipe in like 1986 and just just get promoted now?
Have you been to Plattsburgh?
I haven't.
It's a little behind.
Okay.
Headline police. Does Plattsburgh really need all the law enforcement people that we seem to have?
Wow. Oh my God, that's the only jurisdiction in the country who says that right now.
Right.
Between the state troopers, the city police, the county sheriff's department, park police.
We're just so goddamn safe.
And border patrol, we're lucky if there's room for anyone else on the streets.
What do I have to do to get mugged out here?
Do you want the real subtext of that?
Yes.
I can't speed.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was, I'm trying to grow pot, but no, I can't speed. Okay.
The subtext of that is, I like to drive fast and I can't speed because there's too many goddamn cops around.
Ah, thank you for translating that.
Mm-hmm. Here's a nice one. Officer, I wanted to take a minute to say what a pleasure I had the other day at Plattsburgh's airport. I was traveling with my elderly handicapped mother and was assisted quickly by Officer Hoskins. She was teaching another girl. Both were so kind and friendly. Thanks to you both.
Aww.
See, you nice. A nice one.
Roses.
There's so many police, they have time to help elderly women at the airport. That's amazing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a small airport because it's a small town. Respect. If your kid has no respect for his grandma and grandpa, maybe it's because you don't and you influence them. If you love your...
It's like a passive aggressive stab.
God damn it, mother, stop writing the paper.
There are so many speakouts that are just like thinly veiled family arguments. I kind of love it.
If you love your grandparent, that's because your parents did a good job at respecting them and showing you to love them.
Why can't you raise your kids more like your sister? That's all I'm saying.
Victoria.
No, they're fine.
Sanitation. Recently, my girlfriend and I were at a salon and witnessed 12 people going into the tanning beds in a matter of an hour and a half. Not one time did that bed get sanitized.
No, there's usually a bottle. You do it yourself.
I'm just saying. Speak up.
Well, I just want to inform them. Usually the person probably doesn't tan there. I did it one time. I bought a package of tanning things. It was like before I was getting married. No, it was earlier than that. I think I was going to go see somebody in the middle of winter, like a boy. So I did it at my gym. And it was San Francisco. And you know what? I did feel an actual like mood boost from the vitamin D.
So interesting.
Anyway.
Well, San Francisco is cloudy.
It is. Maybe I need one of those little happy lamps to combat some seasonal affective disorder.
And finally, this one's called firing. While doing business at a local store / gas station, I witnessed the owner firing an employee right there in the store. I was taken aback by their lack of professionalism, and you could tell the employee was very embarrassed. Please, employers, do this in private for everyone's sake. Well, I suppose the only reason to do that in public like that, and I'm not defending it by any means, the only reason I could think of to do that would be if you're afraid that the employee that you're going to fire is going to punch you in the face.
Right.
And you don't want to have that happen. So you're like, oh, this will be safe. I'll do it that way. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you Friday with another new show. In the meantime, enjoy the sounds of Kelly James, Summertime on My Mind. Bye.
Bye. Skin and margaritas, just a day full of fun. Call your friends, they can meet us. Swimsuit, suntans, now you're turning up the speakers. Live the good life, we belong on the beaches. I'll teach you how to surf, then we can play beach volley. Fish tacos on the grill, think Tahiti or Bali. Laying in the sun as it kisses your body. Watching clouds flow by like a childhood hobby. All I got is summertime. Like Corona commercials, two chairs by the ocean. Turning off our phones, leave a message at the tone. And it's straight to voicemail, just leave us alone, man. Laying under palm trees, sand between your toes. Paradise is perfect, wash away your woes. Guitar specific codes when the beach fire glows. Can I stay here forever? I don't ever wanna go. All I got is summertime. Summertime, running through my mind.